Welcome to Turning Point. I'm Scott Catoon, and keeping me in line today is my co-host, Anne Marie. We've got a great show for you today. We will be speaking with Open Legal and Brandless co-founder, and more importantly, Team Lacey member and attorney, Rick Gruber. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
Anne Marie.
We're super excited to have you, Rick.
I bet.
Well, yeah.
We are. Like, I know. That sounded a little facetious.
It did.
Yeah.
I'm super excited to be here as well.
I am excited to have you here. I know. I'm excited to have you here. I haven't seen you yet today. I haven't seen you like all week.
We need to work on that.
Normally there's like, you know, kind of like overkill almost, you know, like this was a...
You can never have too much Anne Marie or her snorting when she laughs.
Well, no, I don't want, you know, I would say something, but she's in the room with us. Oh. That's why we put her on the show, because she snorts and it's great.
Someone has to do that. It's a comedic release. That's great.
I think it keeps everybody in line. But to stay online this time, one of the big things that this show is about is identifying a turning point. And every person, whether you're you know, working in a normal business and you've got just a regular day job in the cubicle, there's a turning point, a pivot, if you will, in life that you have to make a decision as to whether you want to jump. Am I happy with who I am, and am I doing this? Am I in it for the long haul? Can I do this forever? Or do I need to move on to something else? And some people, many people, don't have the ability to jump. And you are a unique character in that you are a lawyer, an IP lawyer, badass serial entrepreneur.
I mean, the sky's never the limit for this guy.
Yeah, and a developer on top of that, which is, this is the part that like blows my mind. Most lawyers, we had Christy Ross on last week, and we talked about the fact that she's an accountant, and that is traditionally not something that would mix well with media and education and charismatic, you know, behavior and things. Why don't you kind of walk us through a little bit of like what your life was after college? Like what was your this job and then you decided, I want something
different. Yeah, I mean, so I'll just give you the quick mile high overview. So I was a college athlete, which had a background in art and teaching. So I was a secondary teacher. I taught high school, which I really enjoyed. Came back to Chicago to be closer to my family, decided to go to law school. But it was very expensive. I had to work the whole way through. So I worked at the restaurants that my family owns, and which is how I'm still involved, and I help them out quite a bit on the business side.
What kind of food?
It's actually wood-fired Neapolitan pizza.
What?
So, yeah. And you didn't bring any?
This is lunchtime, buddy.
So this is technically what I do to people. I think constantly where I have like a whole bunch of surprises for you. So yes, I do bring food.
Oh, I can't wait for
me
more
too.
Stuff.
This is that's my good. Favorite. Is so, it like the 90-second? Coal fire?
It's not coal fire. It's wood fired.
Wood fire.
Everything we make is in our wood fired oven, and our pizzas are done in 3 minutes or less. So it's pretty incredible. We were actually the first people in Illinois that had that.
That's awesome.
Now it's obviously a big fad, and we did about, you don't have to go too far. We're opening up a new location on Armitage in Lincoln Park. It should be opening up in February.
What's the name?
It's Bricks Wood Fired Pizza. However, our Chicago location will be Uprising. Obviously, as an IP attorney, I can tell you there was a little bit of a trademark issue, but we worked well and worked it out with the other Bricks in Lincoln Park, and so we're just going to be Uprising in the city.
That's very cool.
Awesome.
So to digress a little bit, I went to law school, and I just started building websites for people to help pay for it, as well as working at the restaurant.
Where did you learn to be a developer? Was that something you were just interested in and started doing, just like self-taught, or was that...
Yeah, autodidact. Was really frustrated with startup ideas and other things and wanted to not have to wait around for people anymore. So I started teaching myself and realized there's a lot of other people in that position. So then I just started building stuff. I actually at the time met another law student who we partnered up and were doing that initially together. And this last year we sort of split off and I completely rebranded with a new co-founder. Kept the client base and continuing to grow that company. So I also have a law firm with a great partner there as well, and we are mostly IP corporate and venture work.
Wow. So you're pretty busy.
Yeah. It brings me into a lot of unique situations, a lot of great opportunities.
So I was going to ask you, one of the things that was interesting is you just returned from CES, which I was on WGN's live radio version last week talking about you, actually, and CES, and I've been waiting for you to return so that I can learn some of the tricks and things that were at CES. And I can't imagine there was a lot of lawyers there.
No, there generally aren't. It's a little difficult as well because of our restrictions for having to have licenses in certain places. So, you know, the France exhibits were great, right?
Yeah.
But there's not a whole lot of opportunities there for me to do corporate counsel work for companies that are from another country.
Sure.
However, on the IP side, there is a lot there for us because you have to use outside, you know, in local counsel when you want to bring your IP to the States.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we help, and actually we signed a client there that we're helping them expand into the U.S. market to do their IP. So that's a big opportunity for us, and especially in China, you know, we have clients who are manufacturing there, and don't realize that the old saying is about how they always steal everything. Well, that is true.
I was going to say, they don't really have...
Well, they're a little bit unscrupulous. However,
a little bit.
Some of it is our arrogance in our system, and the fact that if we have IP here, then everyone should respect it. But if you file, which is more costly for international rights, and also become a part of the Chinese system with your patents, they're much more respectful, because then if someone's violating that, it becomes disrespectful to their own to their own laws, and that they do care about. So it is more costly, but explaining that to people who are going to manufacture over there, it reduces probably about half the risk.
I honestly think that's it's an important message for people, because I actually have a couple of clients that I've worked with in the past and a company that I still work with who decided to do their manufacturing now in China. And they, young guys, like they weren't really thinking, you know, we got our patents here, we're good. Like they weren't, they had their mold made here. They sent it to China with absolutely nothing, and it disappeared in about 5 minutes.
I was about to say, did anything happen?
Yeah, nothing
that's
happened.
Sad,
no, a lot happened.
That is sad.
It was all gone. That's what happened.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, we even saw it at CES. This was the first year. I mean, if you've never been there, there's a whole hall that was usually Chinese companies.
Yep.
And whatever you saw in the other halls, you'll usually see a knockoff of it in the Chinese hall. I mean, and sometimes it was as egregious as the booth right next to you is your knockoff product. This year, there was actually federal marshals that came and closed down one and confiscated all of it because some attorney had the idea that we're going to file this and say they're violating our patents, and they had the marshals go and seize the property.
That's brilliant.
Oh my goodness.
And they did it and waited to do it at CES, which is fantastic. So as an IP attorney, you know, it was kind of fun.
I was going to say, you had to be laughing. It's like a girl.
I didn't see
spike.
That on your Instagram.
No, I didn't.
Where's the photo?
That's the photo I want. I mean, I got the pictures of you running around and stuff. That's cool. The food looked delicious, but the Gronk spike of the guy's counterfeit stuff would have been great.
That was pretty fantastic. I was actually in the opposite hall. My partner, John, did have a picture of it when he met with the people at the USPTO who were there as well. So that was
exciting. We're going to have to go source through that and find it.
Yeah, we do. There is a picture somewhere of it, and it was pretty good. And that was with hoverboards.
Oh,
so
yeah, of course.
Last year, hoverboards, kind of a small thing there. You maybe saw one or two. This year, hoverboards everywhere, and you literally had like identical knockoffs. So someone's going to go down, and someone's going to be, you know, that's going to be bought by someone.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see the progression year by year. So whatever was cutting edge the year before, you're going to see 15 of those the next year.
Mm.
So that was good. We saw some really interesting things.
What was the coolest thing you saw?
I would say the coolest thing that I saw was in the TVs. There's a lot of new technology coming out with televisions.
What's coming out?
So LG has a new glass TV, which is pretty cool. It's all glass. There's this thin, and I was like, what is this back piece of it? Because it just comes up and down.
Yep.
All it was just to hold it.
It didn't
have anything to do with anything. The thing is paper thin. So that's just to hold it up and keep it sustained.
Is it translucent?
Wow. Absolutely, it's transparent. So
they
have the glass there so you can see right through it.
And,
I mean, the picture quality is incredible. Got to meet Michael Phelps at Under Armour. That was fun.
I can't tell you a story.
Did you guys hang out
and
do anything recreational? Or?
No, we didn't. Okay. I didn't swim.
Amory stole my thunder on that one. There was a story that I told her about Michael Phelps that is fantastical, and I cannot tell a story on the air, but it is.
Asking if they hung out.
Did he show you his medals?
We did not. I did not swim 10 miles and eat a mountain of pancakes either with him, but that would have been fun. Now we know where he gets his appetite from. It's not just swimming.
I do know where he gets his appetite from.
Two other things I saw that were fantastic, and obviously with what's going on with me right now, we're of great interest with Fitbit, who's actually become they're sort of sponsoring me now.
And, fantastic.
And our journey with Team Lacey, who she was already working with them, thought it'd be a really cool thing if our whole team was synced up and we could know what everyone's doing. It's tracking really well. I've had a lot of problems with my iWatch and the Apple Watch actually just syncing with all the other things. So my data was everywhere. And it's a huge problem that I think Apple's going to have to fix because it doesn't have everything in one place and it becomes really confusing and difficult for me.
I've held off the Apple Watch actually for that same reason, not just because people have told me about it, but when I first saw it, I was like, I feel like this is like I'll hop on like Gen 3 is kind of like where I feel like it will be at least operationally useful, functional for the things that I would want to need. And, you know, to your point, though, on the fitness part, you jumped ahead of me because I was going to use the flapjacks as our segue. You chose to keep it on point and go with the technology segue. Team Lacey is another example, a great example of a turning point. I mean, you talked about being an athlete when you were in college, and then you started entrepreneurial lifestyle. As Anne-Marie can attest, this runs a little late sometimes, and we get ourselves in a little bit of trouble. And it's hard to wake up and go to the gym and eat right and not be, you know, consuming approximately 3 to 5 12-ounce glasses of carbs. And, you know, it's a tough lifestyle, actually, as fun as it is.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's really interesting. I've now taken it, like, internally, and I think that with this platform, I have the ability now to inspire other people in our community, sort of take control. And that's going to be a big thing in 2016 for me, which is to hopefully have more engagements like this and speaking and otherwise to go, hey, just because, like, believe me, we're all in the same boat. We've all been here, and so am I. I'm still in it. So there are ways to get it done. And anyone who wants support in that, I'm there. And that's why I'm blogging about it now and writing, so people can figure that out, what I'm doing. Because I think, you know, in my communities, both of them, one in the startup community with all the networking and parties and all of that, and with the younger crowd, it's really hard to transition out of college life into professional life. And when you don't, and when you're a startup, you don't have a lot of accountability. You don't have a boss or managers. Mm-hmm. So no one's really keeping you on track. Like, you can come in hungover and no one's going to say anything to you. Although it sneaks up to you as you get closer and closer to 30.
Yes, it does.
And then, I know too. And then you have a problem, right? So that's
That far. I don't have a problem.
I don't think you're a problem drinker, but
you don't think. He's not even certain. He's not even certain.
I'm a lawyer. I don't have enough evidence to say one way or the other.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And then in the legal community, with the amount of stress, we overtook dentists for the highest rate of alcoholism, drug abuse, and suicide. So I think,
oh my goodness.
It's really, and I know, that's why I only spend like 60% of my time practicing law, because if I spend 100%, I might go insane.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question really quick.
Yeah.
So now that you've been working out, you said that you've lost 35.
Yeah, I'm up to 35 now.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice work. Why don't you speak about the difference in the productivity that you've had being healthy in the mindset and, you know, on this path versus when you kind of were getting busted for donuts because they're bagels or whatever you said when you're on air.
And work really into funny. What exactly Team Lacey is there for those who don't know. You were just on Steve Harvey talking about this.
Yeah, so I've been giving an incredible opportunity through one of my clients who I'm partnered on a project with called Dress Codable. It's an incredible product that we're helping develop. We're just working on the dev side and, you know, the money raising side. So it's a great opportunity, and they brought to me, hey, since we're all on a team now, would you like to be in this, have this opportunity? So we met with the producers, and they liked me and a few other people that were on that company's team, and they picked us. So, I mean, I took it as an honor, but it was also probably because I'm funny and it was really fat. So it was both a badge of honor and shame. So we got brought on,
I know the feeling, man. It's all good.
Kevin got cut from the team because he's only marginally overweight now because he lost 60 pounds last year.
He probably was really upset about it.
He was devastated.
He was too early. He was too early to the party.
He hit his.
This is why you show up to parties late.
Yeah, he peaked too soon. So we got brought onto the Steve Harvey Show with an amazing trainer named Lacey Stone, who has her 8 weeks to change program.
She seems like a solid.
She is rock solid person. I say, her name's Stone, but she's, and she's made of stone, but except for her heart. She's an amazing person. So we got brought on there for an 8-week challenge, a weight loss challenge, sort of like the Biggest Loser. It's a total percentage body, weight loss between the two teams. We're competing here in Chicago for a $50,000 prize. And each of our coaches have a different plan. I think our plan is the better plan. I think it's more in line with things that I've done in the past when I've trained. So I'm excited about it. We're doing.
Do you know their plan?
Yeah. It was all, it was on the episode. Okay. You should have watched. I posted it.
I only watched the first part, and then I had to.
I actually had to
go back to work.
I take that back. I only posted the part with me. I think, as I said, that was the important part.
It was like 6 minutes.
It is the important part.
Yeah.
It's got you here.
Yeah,
wait, are you under 300 now?
Yeah.
I can't really say. I'm not supposed to say.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to say it, but I can eyeball this. There's no way you're 300 pounds.
There's no way.
When I started, I was 323.
No, but not now.
Yeah, do your math.
Not now.
Yeah, I did the math.
Right.
So do the little formula there. And, I'm doing really well. My team is doing great. We're all, emotionally, it's been tough on our team. You know, it's a huge change. But we're sort of coming through that now and hitting the other side of it. And to your point on the productivity, I wake up and I pop out of bed now, which is odd. I'm up doing things like making my coffee before I leave the house. I make my eggs. I do whatever I have to do. And this is another thing too, right? Instead of coming home exhausted and just like plopping down into bed, I'll come home, take another shower, relax a little bit. It feels really good. I'm doing those things instead of not having energy to do any of them. Mm-hmm. So personally, it's great.
Yeah.
For the work-wise, I get to work and I'm sharp.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not losing focus. I'm not getting tired during the middle of the day. I had, anxiety for the first few weeks about if I flywheel every day because I knew when I had it, I was going to freak out.
Hard?
Oh my God, it's so hard.
That lady, Candy, she looks like she's...
Candy Morales is probably the best trainer in Chicago. She's an absolute like machine.
Yeah.
She works out 3:30 in the morning, then has her third workout, then her fourth. I mean, she's incredible.
Uh-huh.
She's an amazing person. I'm really lucky to be working with her here locally.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also a very, very nice, genuine person. So she will, you know, kick and scream and do the whole thing with you. But, you know, she'll kind of pull the veil back and go, are you actually okay? Or is everything, yeah. You know, she's a very, very nice person who works extremely hard. And they've been great for us over at Flywheel. Another startup, actually, that's been helping us quite a bit is Sprig, yep. Which is new to Chicago here.
Gangan is supposed to be on, or Gagan, I should say. The CEO of Sprig is supposed to be calling in and when he comes into city next time, be on the show. So that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, we're extremely appreciative. They've been, you know, they've been sponsoring our meals. We haven't had I don't have every meal through there, yep. Because if you did that all day long, it would take us off the plan. And some days their meals are different if people, yep. aren't familiar with it. You know, download the app and you'll figure it out. You know, you don't get to pick,
yeah.
the meal. They have certain things that you can pick from, which are all fantastic. Some of them fit within it. Some of them don't. And I'd hate to be wasteful and, like, order one that I have to take 80% of it,
sure.
out of it.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they have vegan options as well,
they,
right?
I mean, they have things that you can modify, mm-hmm. not with the order, but when you get it yourself. So
yeah, okay.
If I get something with it has too much fat or it's carbs or something like that, mm-hmm. I can just take that off of there. Mm-hmm. And they do have a lot of really good options. So
unless you really like it, then you just kind of put a little bit on it.
No, I really have to take it off. We got, I mean, when there's money on the line,
yeah, right.
there's no cheating with money on the line.
Well, there's actually a lot of cheating with money on the line.
Well, that's true.
Not for you, because you're an IP attorney, so everything's got to be straight and narrow.
It really, right? It's unfortunate to have, you know, to be so scrupulous.
Yeah, such a tough set of morals.
It really is a pain.
I'm sure it is.
Do you do you feel like you're at the point where in your career, because, you know, if you know my background, mm-hmm. like how you just keep kind of building and building, and same with Scott has done the same thing. Like, do you feel like you're at the right spot where you want to be right now in your career?
I feel like I'm ahead of where most people would have thought, mm-hmm. I would have been, or most people think of themselves to be able to get to. I'm certainly not satisfied as far as this is not.
Do you think you'll ever be satisfied, or is that?
No, I kind of think this sort of type A addictive, sure. personality.
The mythical beast.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I know that I've taken that personality and thrown it into creating things. I've also been learning that not take on too many things at once, despite wanting to, no matter how great the opportunity it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a very hard thing to do, is turn down something that you know is going to be good. So it's finding a way to balance those and not overcommitting to certain things, because that will just create unnecessary stress that, you know, I've had to deal with quite a bit, which is, it's flattering that so many people want me to be a part of their team and to help them and you know, be a part of it in some way. But at the same time, you can only take on so much at once. So
right.
keeping the expectations you know, clear between everyone is always a good thing, so you can take on more without, you know, overcommitting to it. So, you know, I certainly want to go further, and I don't know where that's going to take me. I'm a huge believer in sort of, and I know you feel like this. I hate to get all like hippie on everyone, but like following your heart a little bit.
We had like a 2-hour, 3-hour conversation about this at Highline.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
it's a great place for it.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge thing for me, which is, you know, it's that old saying with, if you're doing what you love, you're never working.
Yep.
And so I've sort of figured out through all of these crazy sort of, you know, Da Vinci moments of like being in a million different things and being scattered, that the one common thing that I really enjoy about all of them was teaching and helping people.
That's yeah.
Awesome. So I like practicing law, but I don't really like the law part of it all the time. I like the fact that I'm able to help people build their company, mm-hmm. and build their dream, because they need people like me.
Mm-hmm.
I also think I bring more compassion to it than most lawyers do. Am I the greatest lawyer on earth or in Chicago? You know, no. I'm young. I'm doing it for, you know, 3.5 years. So there's certainly people who are terrific that know more than me, and I don't have an ego. I'll go to them and ask for their help. Sometimes that burns you. They'll try to steal your clients and do all that. I'm not worried about other people doing bad things to me.
Yep.
So, you know, that's not my concern. It's, if I need help with something, I will go ask for it. If I need to learn something, I'll do it. If a client, you know, I don't put up a veil. If my client wants to know, hey, what's taking so long? I go, I don't know. And I got to go figure it out, but I'm going to. Mm-hmm. And most of my clients trust that's true.
That's
I would
awesome.
Say all of them.
I think, you know, I totally agree with you. We talked about this off the show as well. And Emery and I have had this conversation similarly at Highline for many, many, many hours as well.
Or at the Hawks game.
Or at the Hawks game, which was thanks to Bob Coyne, who's
thanks,
a
Bob.
WGN. But the main point here is, though, is the transformation and the ability to sort of, like, as you said, you're scattered and you got to try to bring it all together. Part of that, a lot of that, I think, at least for me too, was getting my own personal life in order, Sure. And not, you know, not eating poorly, not going to bed at, like, I still go to bed at ungodly hours. But if you get into the gym, like my buddy, I used to be in pretty solid shape. My buddy came in after, I don't know, a couple of years of just ridiculous behavior on my part. He was like, dude, you look terrible. You're not like, you need to get your stuff together. And he sent me to hard pressing for like, I don't know, it would be a year in May. I've been doing that. And I got myself back into where at least I don't cry when I wake up. Way more energy. My mind is much sharper. The ability to have a ton of things, as you call it, scattered, but actually bring them together. So it is actually focused. It might be scattered to the onlooker, but it's quite focused what we're doing. And, you know, I think that that is a huge point of which people have to get that if your mind isn't right and your body's not right, your work is not going to be right, and it all works together. Sure. If one thing's out of whack, the next thing goes out of whack, and the next thing goes out of whack.
Yeah, I mean, I see myself being better to my partners, being better to my employees, being better to my clients, you know, having more patience.
I still don't have any patience.
I know. I try, and you know, I see myself being nicer to my wife. I'm not a horrible guy, but
she's like, here's your towel. Go to the gym.
Yeah, but just having. I mean, she was doing that to me for a little bit, but it was one of those things where she knows that when I'm healthy and taking care of myself, because we've been together for so long, she's seen me go up and down in my weight, and when I'm working out, when I don't,
stressed
she knows I have more patience. I'm a lot happier. I'm generally a pretty cordial and like you know funny guy, but. Yeah. I have my moments at home where I'm cranky after a long day and I've ate like crap.
Human nature.
Yeah, and so, you know, I've seen myself be able to sustain happiness through longer periods of the day where I don't, my patience doesn't run out. I told Anne Marie this in a conversation one day. Those people, I call them RMGs during my day. I call them RMGs. They require more grace.
Yeah.
Because they require a lot more from me, and now I have the energy to actually do that. Because I'm a huge believer in one simple thing. If you want to be content, and that's different than being happy. Anyone can be happy for moments. Yep. If you want to be content, and that doesn't mean satisfied because you might want more. If you want to be content, the person who you want to be, the person who you are, and the person who other people think that you are, if all those three don't match up,
you're in trouble.
You're going to have problems.
Yeah.
So, you know, my goal for myself on a personal level is to make sure that any way that, like, that you know me, that's who I am.
Yeah.
And that's also the person that I'm wanting to be. Or be perceived as, because, you know, I don't want something that sets me terribly.
Man versus himself versus nature.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's why complete transparency with me on a personal level is, you know, something that makes me happy. So whether that gets me clients or loses me clients, the ones I have, we're in the zone, right? We're on complete level where we trust one another, and the people who don't like it, well, probably it's best.
Sounds
we didn't
like
work
just
together.
Like an algo for personal vetting.
It is. I mean, I think we're cut from the same cloth in this. I don't want to work with someone who wants me to be somebody that I'm not. And I do what I do. And if you don't like it, great. If you do like it, even better. But I mean, I think you get yourself in trouble. And I mean, forget about all the personal effects of this, right? I mean, the stress, the weight loss, the weight gain, you know, whatever, however you react to stress.
Short fuse
is another big one. It's a good point. Like all of those things. That is symptomatic of just being a person who's not, like, you're just not in the zone. You're not being true to who you are, and you're not able to keep that up. And what ends up happening is people treat you a different way. Different people treat you a different way. Mm-hmm. And then you get caught in this fire circle of, like, oh, man, like, who am I today? Who's coming? Oh,
I imagine people that actually go out of their way to be like that, that are so chameleon-based, right?
I know a bunch of them. I think more people are like that, to be honest.
A little confused on that one.
I don't know if they, and sometimes I don't think it's conscious. I think it's
defense mechanism.
That's fair.
Always trying to fit in or have everyone like them.
Right.
And not under, and I think that comes from an insecurity that if they don't act like something else, that they won't be accepted.
Yep.
What are you guys saying about me?
Yeah.
Let's just go.
I'm
in a moment here.
No, but I think that's where it comes from.
Actually, you're probably one of the most, both of you, I mean, total opposite. Like, you're very like, you know, F this, F that, I'm not supposed to say that. And then you're more like, okay, well, I just don't need to deal with you, and you just kind of gracefully.
Well, we said that before the show. Yeah. We're going to kind of close on this moment, on this note here. But that's kind of where we started when I saw him down in the lobby today before we came up here. The first thing
the mix of both of
you. It was like where are we at here? And one side's like, you know, I'm just polite and sort of play.
Yeah.
You know, I bow out, as they say, and I'm more of like, well, F you, then I'm out the door, and that's you know, different way to look at it, but the same thing is you got to see the truth. I'm bowing out, so I'm not in this anymore. That's your transparent. And I'm just like, F this, I don't care anymore. Either way, we're both gone.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is that when I don't want to leave like a prairie fire. When
sure,
I walk
of course,
away.
Yeah.
I don't
That's
wanna,
no good.
Yeah, no.
And believe me, none of that
but
is
But it's
from
okay
me
to
being,
stick up for yourself.
Sure, but I you know, sometimes I do it in a less confrontational way. And sure. I mean, that is definitely not something that is, you know, been a whole life thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have done the fire and brimstone. Yeah.
It's fun sometimes.
You know, just literally lighting everything on fire. And a lot of times I did it way too soon.
Mm-hmm.
Or it wasn't necessary. My wife is literally the most patient, soft-spoken, like, compassionate person in the world. So I have, you know, they say you start acting like the people you're with.
Yeah.
So I've taken on, I would say, more of her personality. And so I've gone from, like, a level 10 or 11 on a like an ongoing basis to about a 5. And it takes a lot to get me up. Whereas she is now asserting herself a whole lot more and asking people for what she deserves because she never would ask. So I think, you know, having that balance in your personal life, too, is really important. So, you know, I don't want to be known as the guy who flies off the handle or, you know, loses control and has like a temper and does that. Although people know I have a I will do it.
There's a tipping
But I will
point.
Go back to the table and apologize and go, that was not appropriate. You didn't deserve that. And, you know, having a rough day. And I think that's important for anyone. People understand that.
I think it's a great message. How do people find out more about Rick Gruber? I know there's rickgruber.com and find out more about you and your companies as well as Team Lacey.
So there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, plug Trisha.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff going on all over the internet with me. But the easiest place to go is rickgruber.com, R-I-C-Gruber.com, because you can find all my social links to the businesses that I'm a part of, including my law firm and Brandless. And you can also find a lot of my clients through there. I'll promote them a lot. One of them, Trisha Montgomery, who's running Canine Fit Club, which is, it's really great timing for me with what I'm doing.
Right. It's perfect.
And then I have two dogs who I think are, you know, way too stupid because they're Beagle Bassets to ever work out with me.
Yeah.
But, you know, bless her for trying to help me with that. But yeah, so, you know, check her out too. We're currently, Brandless is going to be relaunching her entire web platform shortly. So it's going to be.
And she is a sweetheart.
Yeah. She's gone through the same thing where she was very overweight and took control of her life. And now she's, you know, sending us emails at 5 a.m.
because
she's already up and done her whole workout.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's inspiring to have people like that. And I want to work with people like that.
Mm-hmm. Because I do, too.
Those people are in line with my, you know, the characteristics that I want to take on. So part of the chameleon part is if you're around good people, you'll start becoming a better person, which is who you want to be. That's a good thing, and just remove yourself from negativity.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent advice. Thank you so much, Rick, for coming on the show today. Thank you, Anne-Marie, for joining me on the show.
Yep.
You can watch this episode and more at Advisor TV. Stream us on the WGN Plus app or download each episode on iTunes. And remember to stay connected by following us on Twitter at WGN Turning Point. Boom, that's a wrap.